Talk about the Greens, that bunch of idiots.
Hey there, Climactic Collective listeners.
I'm Emerald Moon.
And I'm Tom Bella.
And together we host Serious Danger,
a podcast about Australia's broken political system and its greatest threat,
the Australian Greens.
It's a show about green politics in Australia.
The kind of politics that puts people and the planet before profit.
We talk to cool and interesting people about fighting for good shit, like taxing billionaires,
housing for all,
workers' rights,
First Nations justice,
and drugs. Sweet, sweet, sweet drugs.
Join us on Serious Danger every Sunday. You can subscribe to us anywhere you get podcasts.
You can find us on Patreon. We're at Serious Danger AU on the socials, or just head to seriousdangerpod.com.
That's Serious Danger with me, Emerald Moon.
And me, Tom Ballard. Do you think we need something at the end there? Go Greens.
Sustainable You Podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we record our podcast, the Wurundjeri and Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation. We recognise Aboriginal people's enduring connection to land, waters and culture, and pay our deep respects to elders past and present, extending that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures.
Welcome to the Sustainable You podcast with your hosts Jackie Kidman and Lisa Wisdom, self-proclaimed urban hippies, waste warriors and passionate women. Tune in for practical information and inspiration on how to reduce your impact on the environment and become a more sustainable you.
Welcome to this week's episode of Sustainable You. Today we're bringing you a little chat we're going to have with Chrissy Ballinger. Some of you may know her from some of the works that she does around the DIY sustainability advocacy sort of stuff for people. That's how I discovered her, actually. Was it a girlfriend gifted me one of her books, because she's also an author of a couple of books. I'm a bit of the DIY queen, but really I'm nothing in comparison to what Chrissy is. So as our podcast is around helping people to dip their toe into the world of sustainability, or being a little bit more conscious about what sort of things that they use, or, you know, how they advocate on things about their own personal journeys as well. And then the idea is then for them to dip their toe and then maybe dip their foot and then maybe completely immerse themselves. Who knows? It has happened. So welcome, Chrissy, and thank you so much for being on our podcast. I'm very excited to have this chat with you.
Yay. Thank you for having me. This is awesome. I love chatting to new people and meeting new kind of communities, I suppose, that might be interested in what I've got to say. So thank you. Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned that you were an author, but if you could give our listeners a bit of an overview about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, okay. So obviously I'm Chrissy Ballinger. I did establish the Inspired Little Pot a number of years ago, maybe 8 years ago, and only in the last month I've sort of stepped out from that. Nothing has changed. I just wanted to be me. I wanted to be more free. So when you talk about sustainability, I wanted to be more free to share what I do as an individual, as opposed to, I felt like the Inspired Little Pot was very DIY focused, which is still what I do. Mm-hmm. It's just, I wanted to be, you know, I live my life so true to what I tell people. So, you know, I'm always banging on about reusable cups and period cups and all sorts of, you know, reusable things. So I figure this just feels like it's given me a little bit more freedom. I feel quite liberated. So I've written a couple of books that have, yeah, been published or on shelves, which is exciting. My very first two books, one was called The Inspired Little Book and one was The Inspired Little Gift Book, were just really a collection of my recipes that my community said, it'd be so great if we just had your stuff in a little booklet, and they became these books, which was awesome. And then it gave me the idea to write a third book and sort of collaborate all of the books together, like to pop them all together. So I did, and I've got Naturally Inspired, which is got about 125 recipes and tips for natural DIY.
Just a small book.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I tell you what, that we proofread that book so many times that my head by the end was spinning and we still found a mistake. I was like, no, but apparently that's normal.
Oh, God.
And it was it was one of those big ones where it really just affected like salt dissolving in vinegar for this recipe. Anyway, we've done
it.
We fixed it for reprints, but the very first one that came out, it's like one more person says, can anyone tell me why the salt's not dissolving in my softener? It's because it's half a cup of salt, not a cup. So if people are listening, that's the issue. And yeah, then recently, so last year I released Make and Play, which is my kids' book, and it's all filled with stack of fun recipes for kids to make stuff, because I figure kids are our future and we need to get them involved. And if they're excited about the process of making, and most kids are, like, name me a kid who doesn't want to get in the kitchen and get their hands dirty. But if we explain to them that, like, we're making this, you know, Play-Doh, because we don't want to buy the Play-Doh in little plastic tubs that dries out and then we chuck it all out, and we're going to use flour and stuff we have in the kitchen. And I feel like it's our duty to educate our kids to help us get this planet right, but then carry on our legacy and keep it, you know, as green as possible. So yeah, in a nutshell, that's what I do. I write recipes for DIY mainly, but any chance I've got, I will spruik any idea for natural living and sustainability. It's genuinely like I can't help myself. So it's lucky.
It's so good.
Yeah. Thanks.
I showed Lisa your book because I've got naturally inspired, and I was like, she was like, how do you use that? I'm like, I just think of if there's something that I want to look at replacing next, or if I'm just curious about what ingredients you would use for that, because I do DIY, make my own laundries, powders and dishwashing, and your recipes are just similar, but there might be something different that I'm like, I might try that next time or something like that. And then she's like, I wonder if she's got dry shampoo recipe. And she was like,
I opened it up and it was literally on that page. Okay. That's a sign.
Yeah.
And I've got all the ingredients, so I'm going to send her home with it to make it herself.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, I make a real point of keeping recipes as simple as possible, because I know when I was looking to make my own stuff and I'd come across all these tinctures and things you'd have to infuse for months before you used it, and I thought, well, that's well and good, but if I just keep it really simple, then we've got the base to start with, and then you can kind of get creative. It's almost like, you know, I pride myself on creating the foundations, helping to lay those foundations for people, and then often I'll have people say, I made your dry shampoo, it's awesome, but then I decided to do this and this to it, and then I crushed this into it. And I'm like, that's great, because you've had the foundations and you've gone and like embellished it, and that's what it's all about. Make yours, own it, and you're more likely to keep doing it.
And I do love there is that repetitiveness in ingredients as well, like just those simple things. We did an episode on cleaning, or we mentioned, I think it was cleaning products or something like that. And we just mentioned, you know, you really need a base of, you know, a couple of things. And that's what I love about your DIY stuff. Like you said, you've got a base. And if you wanted to add, and if people want to pimp it up, they've got that own option to play around with it.
Absolutely.
And then they might discover something that works better for them, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
So we would love to hear a bit of your story about how you kind of got here.
Yeah, well, I used to be a school teacher, so health and phys ed was my thing. So I feel as though I'll never forget one of my aunties said to me once, sort of, you know, the Inspire Little Pot took off, and she said, it's just such a shame you've wasted your uni degree. Now, I taught for 8 years and really I was passionate about it, so probably really positively guided a lot of children over my time. However, I felt like I'd actually taken all the parts I loved about teaching and put them into this area that I was obsessed with. So as a teacher, I was having to teach. I mean, I was health and phys ed, but gosh, I was teaching religion and science and all these different things. So I had my own kids and went, okay, I can't be a teacher anymore because I don't have enough. It's just not in me to give my kids all of my attention and still have some to teach school kids. So I just fell into it, really. I woke up one day, I was already eating. We were already eating from scratch. We're making all of our own stuff. I was reading labels on food and all of that. And I just, it's almost like I'm quite spiritual as well. And I do really believe in, we sometimes get these like very deliberate nudges, you know, from the energy around us that just says, wait, wake up. And I did. And I just woke up to what was inside packets and bottles of the personal care and cleaning stuff we were using. And big red flag when I couldn't actually find out what was inside the cleaning stuff we were using. So that definitely kind of got me curious. And then with the other stuff, it was a lot in there that I thought, oh, that's got parabens. I'm sure I've just heard that in the news recently. I'm sure someone somewhere said that they're not good for you. So that's where it just began. And then you're in rabbit holes for the rest of your life because you find research here and research there and conflicting stuff here. So who do you believe? And I was adamant that if there's someone out there who's found some information that may not be great for you, let's just leave it until we know for sure that it's okay. Mm-hmm. So if we can keep it as basic as possible and use as many, you know, as natural as possible products and stuff that's come from plants and all of the rest, then we're probably going to be, you know, on the side of safety and the side of caution. So yeah, so then I just told a few friends because I was so excited about it, and they were like, wow, really, you make your own washing powder? And then it was the deodorant. Really, you make your own deodorant? That's a bit like, really, does that actually work? Like, you know. And I was like, do I smell? Like, have you smelled me? And I say to my husband, like, I'm just gonna walk past you really fast, can you smell anything? Nah. Okay, great, it must be working. So yeah, I just thought I'll start a free website and I'll just put my recipes up there. And then it just evolved. So free website turned into a website that I had to pay for and maintain and create recipes and things that people will be interested in. You know, obviously the social platforms were growing really fast because people are clearly interested in this, and that spurred me on because I thought, oh wow, I'm not alone. So, you know, I'm accountable to someone now, and they're like, wow, what she's doing is great. So I'm like, what else can I give them? How else can I make their lives better? And you can't stop that. Like, yeah, I get tired sometimes, not of my mission, but of the business side of it. But then I'll see a comment and someone will say, you know, oh, I use this recipe and it's really helped with, you know, my son's eczema. And I'll go, you've just spurred me on to keep going because so many other kids out there struggling, and maybe moving to natural is going to help them to truly natural, because we know there's a lot of greenwashing out there. And that's why DIY is, I believe, the best way to go, because you're in full control of what you're using, because you just it's very hard to know what you're buying in a packet. And obviously you've got the waste factor. So, yeah, so in a big roundabout, that's sort of how I got to be where I am today.
I love all that stuff because, sorry, I keep cutting Lisa off because I'm so inspired.
That's cool. I'll just sit here and watch you two have a conversation.
That's fine. Because it's very similar to how, like, I can understand that little pattern where you said that you started off just by switching your food and starting to notice things, and then all of a sudden it's kind of like, well, yeah, what about the stuff that I'm spraying around my home? Which is exactly the same pattern that happened with me, probably about the same timing, like eight, nine years ago. Once I had my own kids, I was sort of like, oh, hang on, they're crawling and licking the floor, and I've just mopped that with bleach and things like that, that I was like a bit, you know, okay, this, maybe there's something I need to look into. And yeah, I felt like I got that complete nudge, and that's how it's kind of progressed to me. So then all of a sudden looking at that bigger picture of sustainability and what all these are doing to, like, ourselves, our waterways.
And being curious, like, I think the place we go wrong, just society, is that we think that if it's sold in a professional looking packet and it's at the supermarket, that someone has done the research to make sure that's okay. But the reality is, and I'm being very general here, is that the companies, they want to make money. So how do we make, how do they make money? They, you know, they find shortcuts, they find cheap preservatives, they just continue to pump stuff out. And you can see that they listen to us as consumers, because once you stop buying, like, you know, once the sales of bicarb and citric acid go up, well, you watch, there'll be way more companies who are selling it and producing that, so that, you know, or, you know, when people start becoming more interested in natural, you can see it everywhere. Like, you know, the packaging changes, maybe the formula doesn't, but the packaging certainly does, to make it look a little bit more eco and green. And that's a big pet peeve of mine. Or they will actually change the formula, and it may not be perfect, but at least they've listened and they're trying to make changes, because we are voting with our wallets.
It's kind of that concept of, like, educating yourself is the first step. So, like, going, like coming from a place of curiosity and asking the questions to yourself and to the companies that you're buying from, and then really assessing and using that knowledge. But I'm also interested in the fact that I think in one of your introductions in your book, you say that you couldn't unlearn all of the things that you'd found out. And I'm like that too, in that, you know, I constantly try and educate myself on the climate emergency and what's happening with emissions and all of the things. But like knowing all of that doesn't necessarily help. Mm. It sometimes can be paralyzing.
Overwhelming.
And so it's kind of, I'm interested in how you turned that knowledge into doing something about it and how you went about doing that.
I think I was born to be an educator. I may not be everyone's style or cup of tea, but I think I was born to spread a message. I knew I wanted to be a teacher from, I was either teacher or a nurse, but it was always kind of teacher was where I was headed. So, you know, sometimes it can feel, I have my moments where when I get really stuck into researching something and I can feel really off balance and just like, what's the point in any of this? Because we're screwed. Like, if this, who's helping? Like, how do we actually make a change? And because, you know, I have a petition going and I think it's been going for 6-12 months, I don't know how long, and I want everyone to sign it. Why wouldn't you sign it? Why wouldn't you want labels on cleaning products to tell you what's in it? But trying to find these people, reach these people, explain to them why this is important, it can be exhausting and it can feel like there's no point because I can't reach everybody. But then I think, you know, I'll get one message. A friend literally just messaged me before we got onto this call. And she was like, I've just met a friend of mine. I used to know her 20 years ago in the UK. And we just had coffee yesterday. And she was telling me that she's all into natural stuff and cleaning. And she follows a girl from Perth. Have you heard of her? And like, this friend of mine, which is just, she used to work with me actually. She's the most beautiful person. She's like, oh my God, yes, I know her. She's my friend. And I think, wow. So someone in the UK knew what I did. And she's used bleach and all those like spray cleaners and drain cleaners, and she doesn't anymore. So that spurs me on to go, well, I may not be able to reach all 26 million people in Australia and, you know, everyone beyond, but just changing that one life is enough to go another day. So that's just, that's adding fuel to my fire, and I can't really sit still. So I'm like, may as well do something with that.
And it can also be probably like one way traffic too. So you're not necessarily getting a lot of that. It's like with us, we talk to people, we share everything, but it's not, people might not necessarily be telling us, every listener is not telling us that, oh, I'm doing that too, or I've changed that, or we might get one or two contacts that come out of it, but we've had hundreds of people that have listened. So it is quite tricky to get that two-way traffic. So when you hear that someone's like, I listened to that podcast, I've heard of you, you know, or I've read your book, or, you know, you kind of go like, oh, okay, well.
It's re-energizing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really re-energizing. Yeah, it gives you a boost. Yeah,
and you just learn in this kind of new way of running businesses, you know, the things that we do compared to, say, what our parents did when they were our age. You learn that, you know, you're going to give 100% and you'll only get 1% back, but it's got to be enough. And I think that's where true passion shines, because those who are really committed to the cause and they're doing it for the greater good, that's enough. And clearly for you guys, it is, and it is definitely for me. So yeah, that's enough for me. Just hearing that people are actually benefiting from what I do is lovely. You know, more interaction would be even better, but it is what it is, you know. Yeah.
And I guess the knowledge that, you know, that change is slow, but is constant. And so, like, sometimes it might seem like a long time has passed and very little is changing out there, and then all of a sudden it will hit that tipping point.
Yeah.
And, like, it will become a new thing. Like, there'll be a new policy that will be enacted, and all of a sudden everyone's just changed their behavior like that.
Absolutely. So,
it will come.
And people like us didn't bang on as much as we did about reusable stuff, we wouldn't have, you know, we wouldn't, I know here in WA, you know, we ditched the plastic bags and there was a big hoo-ha at the start, and then people just got used to it. And aren't New South Wales ditching all disposable, I just saw it the other day, all disposable cutlery? Or was it Queensland, Brisbane? I don't, somewhere on the East Coast. Which is amazing.
A lot of states, Victoria, New South Wales, we're in Melbourne.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's, and South Australia I think have already gotten rid of.
Yeah.
South Australia kind of leading in that, but my opinion anyway, particularly in their renewables and their single-use banning and stuff like that. They already had banned the plastic bags a long time ago as well.
Yeah.
And same with I don't think people were sort of saying, like, when there was the big hoo-ha about the plastic bags, it was like people were like in South Australia were like, we've done that for like 10 years. Yeah. Like, or, you know, like maybe not that long, but they were just like, you know, and now it's just common practice.
Yeah. Mm. Cause I just always think, like, if it's just not an option, my biggest thing is coffee cups. People who buy a coffee that they hold for 5 minutes and they chuck it out. And I don't care if this cup is disposed, like, you know, it can be recycled, whatever, you know, at the end of the day, we don't even need to do that. We don't even need to produce it. You have all the resources to produce it and then to have this thing need to be recycled or wait however long to be compostable if it's truly compostable and doesn't just break down into tiny bits of plastic. And I think if cafes, if someone just stood up and went, sorry, we don't do takeaway coffee, you must bring in your own cup or you can purchase one from us, everyone would do it. It would be no choice. And I will not give up coffee. So I'm like, right, I have like 7 keep cups. There's like 3 in my car, always one in my handbag, like coffee stand and stuff. But it's just they're always everywhere because when I want a coffee, I must have a cup. And if I don't, I say no. And that's just how it is because I've made that commitment to myself and the planet.
Yes.
So I hope people who are listening, if they're still using those things, they might just go, you know what? Yes, I am going to buy a reusable cup and I am going to sacrifice my own pleasure for, you know, a 5-minute coffee if I haven't got my cup with me. So,
Or I will buy it for you. I was at bloody breakfast with my friend Josh the other day and we were eating in and he ordered his coffee in a takeaway cup and I nearly lost my mind. I go, no, you know, no. No, you don't need a takeaway cup. We're heating it in. And he goes, yeah, but I like it in a takeaway cup. And I said, no, you don't. And I lost my shit, right? And I said, he will not be having his coffee in a takeaway cup. I go, because it's single use, Joshua, and you're going to throw that out in 5 minutes.
Joshua.
He goes, oh. And then the penny dropped for him, right? And like, I obviously had fired up significantly that he was like, I've never been so yelled at and I didn't even know what I'd done wrong. And anyway, the waitress goes, oh, don't you worry. I get so fired up as well. She goes, half the time I tell people, why are you ordering these cups? Why aren't you bringing your own cups in? And so, like, we had this moment where it was like this shared passion of hers as well. And yeah, so don't talk to me about coffee cups, Joshua.
So we'll be sending this link to Josh then.
We are in such a fast-paced society that to stop and have a 5-minute coffee
in a cafe
is actually so much better for our mental health, our just grounding. If anything we need to start doing is slowing down stuff because, you know, and to stop and have a chat, smile, make eye contact with people, like those things are really important as well as the sustainability aspect of it. But, you know, like there's so much in a bigger picture
for our health
of also doing, you know, just taking a breath. Also, just a little fun fact, with your reusable cups, you need to use them at least 50 times in order to then sort of negatively gear it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's all good and well to buy Josh a cup, but if he's only going to use it once, it's actually more.
Oh, don't worry. He won't be using it once.
Josh has given up coffee. He's like, he's rocking in the corner.
But it's not just coffee. Those cups are brilliant. Like our local shopping centre has like a fountain so you can fill up your own water bottles with filtered water. And so, you know, if we're thirsty, we always have a cup with us. So we go and fill the cup with water and we drink water. Yeah. Or if the kids are going to a smoothie place, I'm like, can you fill this? And one of my just on this, we should have just done a podcast on reusable cups because it's such a good topic.
That is one obstacle that we could talk about. And I'm wondering about talking about obstacles. I'm wondering if there were any problems or issues that you had to overcome with, like, you had this plan and you wanted to start sharing all of this stuff that you knew. Mm. Like, how hard was that to get off the ground?
Yeah, look, from a business perspective, I would say that one of my biggest obstacles is I have so many ideas but not enough time. And, you know, when you're trying to be creative, because that's what I do, I used to have a warehouse where I sold all of the ingredients to make your own DIY and then very quickly realized that I was going to run myself into the ground running that and trying to be creative and be a mum and a wife and the social, you know, I love doing stuff, hanging out with friends and whatever. So that aspect went about nearly 2 years ago now, I think. But so my thing is, I have a lot of ideas. I need to sit down and be creative, and you can't just switch that on. So I have this idea. Mm. And then when I'm like, right, cool, it's 10 o'clock, I'm going to sit, and I go, I've got nothing. I can't do this now. So business, but personal perspective, I think trying to always have the right balance between working and all the other stuff, regardless, especially with the demands of social media these days, make people engage and also flick the switch for people, trying to find a balance between, if I let my true passion out, it would be pretty full on. So I've learned so much to just go easy, because it can be very overwhelming to someone, particularly someone who's new, who goes, what? Hang on, just back it up a bit. All I want to do is find a cleaner, greener way to clean my toilets. I don't want the whole lot. But then, you know, in the space that I'm in, that obstacles there are the, you know, head in the sand, reluctant type. That's a tough one. And I think you're always going to have that. But I've had some, you know, posts that have generated some pretty heated discussion, and I've kind of shied away from it a bit now. It burnt me, because I realized that there's certain things you talk about and I just don't, my skin's not thick enough for people to throw back at me, you know. And often it's, if I tell you that, in my opinion, perfume is not great, I don't think that we should be using it, I think it's toxic for us and pets, planet, the lot, don't use it. There are alternatives. We don't need perfume. Who told us we need perfume? You know, if you want to use something, use essential oils, dab a bit of ylang ylang behind your ear and it's amazing. But then by me telling you that, if that means you have to go back over your history and go, but I've been smothering my child in a fragranced body lotion since they were born, or I've been using this bubble bus, they don't want to face the fact that they may have been doing something that could have created issues for their loved ones. So it's easy to put their head in the sand. I'm being very broad here, but that's definitely a huge obstacle constantly, because, you know, most people are like, oh, this is awesome, I love this idea. But some people are like, why would you even, what's the problem? Yeah.
But that's where, when we talked about big business before, in terms of like stuff that's on the supermarket shelves, is that there are more kind of psychologists working in advertising areas than they are actually out there practicing on their own.
Yeah.
Because we've been so conditioned to saying that this is the best option, this is the only option, and if you don't do it, then you're doing more of a detriment to, you know, your health or your child's health or anything like that. It's a slow burn, I think, for people.
What I have to say about that is, all people would need to do if they are feeling like that is just take a look back at history and have a look at some of the chemicals that were very freely used because they were safe. I mean, cigarette smoking was marketed to lower blood pressure. That's why I've seen the ads. And now we know for a fact it causes, I don't know, what is it, like 60 different types of cancer. It's still sold, but whatever, it's another thing. You know, DDT that was sprayed and, you know, still is sprayed in some places where malaria is more of a risk than the effects of DDT. But that, you know, asbestos used in buildings, flame retardants, all that stuff, you just need to look back, formaldehyde, you know, all these things that we were
that's
just.
That's the next thing I was going to say.
Yeah, that were okay. Like, they're fine. And now we're like, hang on a minute, that byproduct, you know, 1,4-dioxane is another one. It's a byproduct that is carcinogenic and it's created when two other chemicals meet. Now, Jesus, if you're using like a product on your skin and then it seems okay, but then you're layering something else on and then you're topping it up with perfume and then you're going outside with all the, like, what is being created? It's like a chemical storm. So, but in saying all of that, I really like to spin things. Like you say, you lead by example.
As you said, that you've done a little bit of a rebranding. So what's your vision for the future?
I think that I'd love to take things back to what our grandparents used to do before we got really messy and so focused on convenience. I think that's probably one of our biggest places we went wrong is everything is created. Just if you think of anything, it's created for convenience and speed. Mm. Let's get it done fast and let's make it, you know, as easy and as accessible as possible. So just, you know, make it normal, to normalize natural practices, you know, to make it really normal that you would just throw soap berries in the washing machine. It's just, we just stop buying the other stuff. That would be amazing. And to get people curious, to be curious as a human means, you know, you're asking questions, you're challenging things, you're not just accepting what's been thrown at you. And we're being bombarded, you know, when we're out and about, but on our phones and ads popping up for things, it's everywhere. We're being bought constantly. So being curious means you're going to just pause for a minute before you make those buying decisions, which in turn will make the companies listen to what we've got to say and ultimately create more truly natural and sustainable products, because they'll see that that's actually what we want. But in the near future, I'd really love to see the laws change around cleaning products and have labelling, because at this point in time, cosmetics, personal care all need full labels, lists on their packaging, whereas cleaning does not. But as I see it, you put dishwashing liquid in a sink and you soak your hands in it. It's no different to taking a bath, yet they don't need to tell us what's in it. And when you spray any kind of spray around your home, an insect spray, a window spray, you are inevitably inhaling it like perfume. It's landing on your skin and your surfaces. Therefore, we have the right to know what's inside. And that is something that, I've got the petition. There's about 12,000 signatures on it now, and I'd love to just see it keep growing.
So our last question for our chat with you is something that we always ask our guests. What is your one tip for sustainability for our listeners?
You know, I feel like you say just one, but it's almost like twofold, because you've got the sustainability just on a general scale, but also in this space of DR. So sustainability from a point of view of being able to maintain living naturally personally would be just take it one step at a time, just make one change, deal with that change, go, yes, nailed it, move on to the next. But on a broad scale, I mean, we've done the whole coffee cup thing. I'm going to say, if you're a female and you're menstruating, get a period cup or get a period undies, because the amount of money and waste that's created, money spent on sanitary items, is out of this world. And, you know, if you're in a position where you have access, I understand it's not possible for everybody, but if you're in a position where you've got clean running water and a washing machine and a sink and all that kind of stuff, then just give it a go. You know, it's such a worthwhile investment. And my gosh, you would imagine if it just, that's just what we did, it would be a huge impact, positive impact on planet.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, I know we could keep on talking. There's so many topics. And I really feel like there is that like-minded kind of connection that we have. And I'm really glad that we could get this time to sort of chat.
Yeah.
Just, could you just quickly just tell people where they can find you?
Okay, so you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at chrissy.ballinger, so Chrissy with a K, and my website's chrissyballinger.com.au. So they're probably the most common places people will look for me. And, yeah, and hopefully I can inspire more people to give this stuff a go and make it a bit more normal.
Well, Chrissy, you've certainly inspired me to do a little bit more in my own home, and hopefully this chat with you today has inspired all of our listeners to become a more sustainable you.
Sustainable You can be found on Instagram at Sustainable You Pod, on Facebook at Sustainable You Podcast, or connect via email at sustainableyoupod@gmail.com. Episodes are created by Lisa and Jackie. If you appreciate the podcasting information shared, please like, subscribe, and share. If you are listening on iTunes, Jackie and Lisa would appreciate you giving them a 5-star rating and writing a review to help other people find their podcast.